Joining us is a political analyst, Abraham Nyon-Kwol, who is going to share his thoughts on the president's speech yesterday and the reopening of the Transitional National Legislative Assembly. Abraham, good morning. It's always good to have you on the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Good morning. My pleasure to be here this morning.
Yes, and listening to the speech of the president, what was your immediate thoughts after listening to the president's speech?
Thank you very much. In fact, when I was just listening to the speech of the president, my immediate thought is his opening remarks. Mm-hmm. And the opening remarks is he was able to assure the assembly that the only essence of the government existing is the revitalized peace agreement, mm-hmm. which is currently through the roadmap. This means the president recognized that the lifeline, the legitimacy of the current government is based on the peace agreement, which is extended through the roadmap. Mm-hmm. The second thing that almost impressed me and also made me to ask a question is hatch to the assembly to work in letter and spirit, that they should have a teamwork. And this gave me a question. If the president is telling the assembly to work as a team, why should they not also work as a team at the presidency?
At the presidency, okay.
And that is where I had a question that I was able to ask it to myself. Mm-hmm. And this is telling us that, you know, when we have a family, which as the children that are seeing the parents are always in problem.
Quarreling.
When they grow up, mm-hmm. they will also grow up quarreling. Mm-hmm. So what that speech of the president means is that the president need to go back and put the House of Presidents in order, mm-hmm. at the same time, so that the children who are the Council of Ministers and the legislature should be able to put things straight by looking at the best example set by the president.
All right. Yes. So it's more basically like parents who are always fighting but telling their children to behave,
exactly.
not to fight and to love each
exactly.
other.
Exactly.
Now, the president spoke on quite a lot of topics. He basically touched on economy, touched on infrastructure, touched on the diplomatic mission, he touched on the constituency development fund. Basically, a lot of things that the president's speech talked about. But what really impressed you in all this speech, and is it something that you believe can be implemented?
Well, you could see into it that until almost 2 years ago, most of the president's speech has always been spoken, debated in the parliament, but the citizen had never been seeing a lot of tangible issues. Mm-hmm. So, but looking at mostly 2 years ago when the president began talking about the issue of infrastructure and people began seeing some few roads here, that was the beginning of how the president's speech is making development and become a government policy. Mm-hmm. Now, also at the same time, when we look at the current speech is full of a lot of things that are very practical. Mm-hmm. And for example, when you talk about mostly the issue of completion of the bill on election, mm-hmm. that is a very practical thing. And we know that is the only stumbling block that people should be able to say it. If the election commission is not reconstituted, if the political parties council is not reconstituted, then when are elections supposed to be? Because parties will not go to election without being registered. Mm-hmm. The candidate will not also go to the election without being registered, through mostly being the nomination being accepted by election commission. Mm-hmm. So those critical thing is making us to say it here that the president is touching on critical issues that need an action, not only to take more time, but to take less time as they did during the time of security arrangement. Remember last year, it was in July last year when they said, we are going to graduate the necessary unified force. Mm-hmm. But by October, around 53,000 was graduated. That is speaking and acting. And I think this is what is needed at this specific point.
Great. Let's talk about one of the most important part of all this speech is, of course, when the president spoke about the economy. And South Sudanese, of course, wanted to hear so much about that. Now, the president, talking about economy, he proposed an economic conference to be held, to be organized by the Ministry of Finance here in Juba. Is this something that you believe can help resolve the economical situation in the country?
Well, if South Sudan was to be other countries where people are very serious in implementation of the government policies, then this is something that is supposed to create hope for the people of South Sudan. But despite the fact that the president has a good idea and as high the institution concerned to be able to make the conference so that they get the best recommendation that will be used for the overhaul and rebumping of the national economy. In this case, this upcoming conference could be a good idea. But we had one problem that we have with our government institution currently.
Mm-hmm.
We are very good at talking, but trying to be very good at writing policies, but putting those policies to be in file. Mm. So I don't have any hope so far. I know this will be like one of the conferences that will be done, and the recommendation will come out like the recommendation of National Dialogue, mm-hmm. which were very critical, which were very instrumental, but now they are just gathering dust on our cabinets.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that unique that was not done, like, for example, in big conference like National Dialogue that has not been done, so that we could be able to learn from the previous one and do this.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a good initiative, but we are there to wait and see how it is going to make a difference.
All right, so there's no hope according to you, because we can have a conference, have a beautiful policies that come out of it, but and the implementation will just not happen.
Will be zero.
All right.
And this is where my problem is.
Okay. Now, talking about that as well, the members of parliament, and we heard from the Speaker of Parliament during her speech as well, did mention about looking at the civil servant salaries, and they also demanded their own increment of salary and new demands of cars and insurance and all that for the members of parliament. What do you take of that speech from the Speaker and their demands?
Well, this is something, this is a song that has been sung for a long time. And now this thing, the government don't need to say that this is something that they are going to do, because this is the lifeline of the people that they are trying to handle. And that is why the increment of the government salaries, government civil servant salaries, and the soldiers is something that need to be done with immediate effect.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it doesn't even need a new budget. It needs only a presidential order that you need to do this. Remember, 2 years ago, the president said, increase the salary by 120%. People were so jubilant that 120% is something significant. But 120% of the $2 by that time become mostly $4.
Yeah.
So what will the $4 give to somebody that is surviving on a daily basis?
Mm-hmm.
So the issue here is not about increasing just by saying we are going to increase by this percentage. It's about making something that tangible, something that will provide a decent small life, that will make somebody to afford maybe one drum of water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And also a small kind of food that people should be able to put on the table. And in this case, if the government began handling that, then that is the beginning of stability.
Now, we are talking about economic situation in the country, economic crisis and all that. Members of parliament are talking about wanting new cars that will probably go up to 9 million if all of them have to get the amount they are demanding. What do you take of that?
Well, in traditional African setup, a mother or a father is not supposed to be eating when the children are sleeping angry.
Mm-hmm.
And this new demand by the parliament is in fact something that is showing that they are not representing people, but they are representing themselves. And as a result of this, whatever the amount that should be approved for them is going to cost them during the election. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost them their position. Is going to cost them whatever the policies that they are going to set up. And as a result of this, they need, if the government has money, as the president has directed the Ministry of Finance, if they have money, let them use that money to pay the army, let them use that money to pay the civil servant, rather than paying that money for the cars or the assembly.
All right. Yeah. You stay with us. I will be going to the news headlines. And when we come back, we still have a lot that will be coming to you live this morning here on the Miraya Breakfast Show. My guest is Abraham Nyong. He is a political analyst. And here this morning, we are discussing and looking at the president's speech that during the opening of the National Transitional Legislative Assembly yesterday after 3 months of recess. Now, the president touched quite a lot of topics, from economy to the implementation of the peace agreement to diplomatic missions, which will, when we come back, we will be talking about the CDF. which is the Constituency Development Fund that the president said should be reactivated. Let's talk about the Constituency Development Fund. This was a fund that was given to every MP to go make consultation with his or her constituency so they can decide what are some of the basic services that they need there. But in the past, this money has been abused so much. We've heard about, you know, sometimes no project completely. Sometimes there are some projects that are put in places that cannot function, like school buildings put somewhere where there are no children, no any other thing, and primary health centers. Now the president, and this stopped in 2013. The president has said now that has to be reactivated so members of parliament can be able to provide services to their citizens. First of all, what is your take on the CDF?
Well, CDF is a good idea, and generally across the world, it is what has been used always as the at the dividends of the government, mostly through the constituencies that they are represented by their members of the parliament. And as you have already reiterated, that originally in South Sudan, when the constitutional development fund was provided, it has been abused. It has become a private property by most of the parliament. Mm-hmm. And reintroducing it is, I think, one of the biggest problem. It is going to be create a lot of issues for some reason. One, it is also going to divide the parliament, because we had a number of MPs that don't have constituency. So mm-hmm. they have what we call satellite constituencies. Because if you are appointed from your community, from opposition, you believe that you are representing your community. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be duplications of this fund between the opposition and the government. Mm-hmm. And this thing is going to be problematic in nature. So that is one. Secondly, it is also going to be problematic because these constituencies that are going to have the fund, there are constituencies that people are completely displaced. Mm-hmm. So where will the MP go and do the development? Will the MP go and do the development in the refugee camp, or will they go and do the development in the area where their people are
in displaced
IDPs,
camps.
Are displaced camp? So that is the second aspect that it is going to be problem. The third aspect that is going to be problematic is that this time South Sudan is having a lot of economic problems, including the MPs, the benefits and whatever that they get, okay, mm-hmm. is not good to sustain them. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a lucrative environment for MPs to take money and develop themselves. So it is better if they are going to implement it, they call it Members of Parliament Development Funds, mm-hmm. Personal Development Funds, okay. In the state of constitutional development funds.
All right, so you don't
and
see
this could be the
you,
thing.
Yes, you don't see it actually helping the ordinary citizens in these particular places.
Yes.
If the CDF or the Constituency Development Fund has to work, what do you think should be put in place? What are some of the mechanisms that should be put in place to ensure that at least the ordinary citizens can get services?
Well, if we want the Constitutional Development Fund to be able to work, it has to be put on hold for the time being. Let the election be held next year, it is not very far, and from there we are going to have a parliament that is reconstituted through a legitimate system, through mostly constituencies that are clearly marked through the constitution of South Sudan. Mm-hmm. And from there now, those legitimate MPs should be the one now that should be given the CDM.
Are you calling the current one illegitimate MPs?
Well, I could call the current one illegitimate, yes, somehow. Why? Because we have now duplications of the constituencies. Mm-hmm. And that is why I put it as one of the problem that where we are going to have the problem. The parliament itself is not illegitimate. Mm-hmm. Okay? But the system in which the constitution has been done is going to be problematic. Okay? Because we know that the parliament has brought as a result of RCS. Okay? And as the RCS exists, RCS has come up with a compromise where we have in one area, we have like five MPs, for example. One is legitimate and four are coming through different parties. Mm-hmm. That are not being recognized by the constituency itself. Now, if you are giving this one, the four will not be happy. And if you give to all of them, then you are only now playing with the resources of people of South Sudan. Mm-hmm. Because they will not end up using that. Lastly, if you give to the four people from the opposition, the SPLM will not even be happy. Because they are like also empowering the opposition. And the opposition is also going to do the campaign. Because if the opposition, for example, used their money to make the development, and the SPLM MP took the money and put it in their pocket, okay? This means that when election come next year, they will vote for the opposition and they leave the SPLM. So it's like also, if the SPLM is not careful, they are also trying to destroy their own house.
Yes, so if that really bad for the Constituency Development Fund to be reactivated at the moment, don't you think the president said it in good faith, actually? He wanted services to be taken to the people.
Well, it is the president said in good faith, and there is no doubt about that. But the issue is that the president has said so many things and there are a lot of priorities. So it is now up to the parliament and the institution concerned to advise the president on the priorities that need to be taken care of. And that is why the speech of the president is debated in the parliament. But do you know what? One of the parts that they can approve very quickly is that part, which is also wrong. It will bring problem to themselves and it will bring problem to the president.
Great.
So why should we do it?
All right. Now, talking about a lot of things, you didn't mention earlier at the beginning of this conversation, and I want us to reiterate on it briefly, is about the process towards elections, of course, and some of the bills that needed to be approved and signed into law so that the election will take place in time. With the speech of the president yesterday, do you see hope that the election will actually happen in time?
Well, we could not be able to do that assessment, and I sure, especially me, I could not be able to predict whether election will be there or not by this time. The only time that we could be able to predict with almost 75% of possibility of it happening is by the end of this year. Because election is not an event by itself. It's just not it's the last event after the series of events.
Of processes.
So now we need to see those series of events being put in place. But if the timeline is not able to deal with that, then we could be able to say it with no doubt that there will be new extension. But the question is, don't be surprised that the extension may not come in terms of another roadmap. You know, there is a Rome talk that is going on now. I could predict probably that the roadmap, the Rome talk, could continue dragging on, and it will be the source of extension that will be able to come. That they will use that as they will put together. Remember, during the 2015 agreement and the 2018, it became Itigono. Now it will become revitalized government against the Rome group this summer. And this could be now the next source of extension that we need to watch at this space.
Well, the president said there will be no more extension.
That is what I'm saying. But there will be precondition that the president said there will be no extension, and the people that should work on the condition that will make no extension for election to be done. If they don't do that, the president has no choice.
Now, we are entering April, of course, which is almost a quarter of the year so far, and we don't know when census will be conducted, if any. We don't know, of course, the geographical constituency demarcation and all that not yet happening. Surely, the election, don't you think, thing will come all in a rush eventually if it's to happen in 2024?
Well, the only possibility of us having election in 2024 is only by using two conditions. One condition is that we are supposed to use the current constituencies that already exist, that had the census of 2008. That is the only condition that will make election.
But would that really reflect the realities on the ground? We have seen displacement of people.
This is where my second point come in. Now, if we have the current constituencies, then the second one is allowing the people of South Sudan to vote wherever they are using the model of the referendum. So now, I can be in Juba, but I can vote it for my constituency where the polling station should be near, and I vote for my constituency where it is supposed to be. And this is the only two conditions that will make election to be done in December 2024. But without using those conditions as the way of trying to do that, despite the fact that we can reconstitute the PPC, we can reconstitute the election commission, but the environment itself, which comprise of the constituencies and the voters, if that thing is not handled well, then there will be no election.
All right, Abraham, just before we let you go, what do you think should be the priorities of Parliament now moving forward and implementing this revitalized transitional revitalized peace agreement?
Well, the priority of the Parliament at this specific point is to scrutinize the roadmap, look at the bills that are hanging, and be able to expedite the process of improving those bills. Secondly, the Parliament is an eye of the people. And as a result of this, they need to begin working on the role of checking the system of the government through the cabinet and through the judiciary.
All right. Thank you, Abraham. Thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios. Any final remarks?
It has been a great pleasure for me to be here and seeing the president has put the point of people working through the spirit of the roadmap. I hope this next week or this week or next week, the public should be able to get a good resolution from the presidency that they have resolved the issue of the Ministry of Defense and Ministry of Interior as a way of showing the trust to the people of South Sudan that the president is spoken and the president is acting.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Abraham, for coming to Mirai Studios. We do appreciate your time.
Thank you. It was a pleasure for me to be here.
Thank you.